6 feet was arbitrary. Even Dr. Collins said he still hasn't seen any empirical evidence to support the 6-foot rule, a rule that shut down schools and businesses, a rule that will have negative ramifications for decades.
Yeah, and notice what he said. And this is one of the reasons I really appreciate anybody who can recognize the validity of viewpoints that are maybe a little bit at odds with their own, or are, you know, recognize truth that is, they'd prefer it were some other way. Okay. The contrast here couldn't be more stark between people like, I think, Brad Wenstrup, who's extraordinarily capable, and somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is an embarrassment to the country. Okay. Brad Wenstrup recognizes that, for example, distancing made sense. Distancing was a good idea. And he's not saying distancing was stupid. He's saying that the 6-foot rule didn't have justification. And even, you know, Anthony Fauci talked about that, as opposed to a 3-foot rule or a 9-foot rule or a 10-foot rule or anything like that. You know, where did 6 feet come from? And that's fair, especially because that 6 feet rule wound up being the basis of other things that were so damaging and disruptive to our society. And that is a fair criticism, to ask the question of where did that specific number come from? Was it justified? And then all the other things that went along with accommodating that concept, and also concepts like masking or mandatory masking and so forth.
Anything less than complete submission to the mandates could cost you your livelihood, your ability to go into public, your child's ability to attend school. Families were thrown off planes and shamed when their 2-year-olds struggled to wear a mask. Children with disabilities lost access to therapy that they and their families depended on. Students were out of the classroom and told to attend school remotely, even when the science clearly demonstrated it was safe for them to go back in the classroom. This harmed low-income students the most. And how were single-parent households supposed to teach their own children and work at the same time?
Yes, we are to this day and for the foreseeable future dealing with the social, mental, and academic consequences of the decision, especially the decision to shut down schools. And of course, in Florida, it's, you know, our experience was different from the rest of the country. We briefly shut down schools and then we went back to school in the fall, and you could keep your kids at home on distance learning if you wanted to, or you could go to class, right? It's still hard for people to process in Florida that in other parts of the country, they didn't go back to school for over a year, sometimes as much as a year and a half, almost 2 years. I mean, like, they were really, really shut down in a way that we were not. And so keeping in mind that our experience here was not their experience there, it's part of the reason that many of us very much appreciate Governor DeSantis for standing up against what the national media and the sort of healthcare folks who had been abdicated the positions of political power had been given to them. I thought this was a major mistake. But, you know, keep in mind, those consequences, they matter for our kids in Florida. They really matter for kids in other parts of the country like New York and California and Illinois, where it was a much more rigorous and much more enduring long-term lockdown, especially for schools. So all of that true. And the concern about Fauci.
Dr. Fauci, you oversaw one of the most invasive regimes of domestic policy the U.S. has ever seen, including mask mandates, school closures, coerced vaccination, social distancing of 6 feet, and more.
All accurate.
Dr. Fauci, whether intentional or not, you became so powerful that any disagreements the public had with you were forbidden and censored on social and most legacy media time and time again. This is why so many Americans became so angry, because this was fundamentally un-American.
And I agree with that, too. Now, the whole point of this hearing, I will say, was not entirely clear to me, because if it was just to hear from Fauci himself about a variety of these matters and clear up some of the questions and allegations, that's fine. And I think it did that. I don't think it did that to the satisfaction of Republicans who want to paint him as the demonic orchestra leader of all of the horrible things that ever happened, because, you know, some of these allegations include that Fauci, you know, engineered the virus, or that he conspired with intelligence agencies to cover up the origins of the virus because of his role or the NIAID's involvement in a subgrant to a small slice of what worked at the Wuhan lab and so-called gain-of-function research that made the virus or led to a precursor for the virus or whatever, okay? These claims are absurd. They really are genuinely absurd. If it's the question of did he himself cause the, like, social distancing and the masking and all of the shutdowns and all of that, well, he didn't have the power to make these decisions. Politicians made these decisions, you know. Governors largely made these decisions. The president gave his perspective and, you know, Trump gave his and then Biden gave his. OK, so you can blame Fauci for saying what he said. And many people do. I think of him as a scientist who was given too much ability to influence decision. And that's not his fault per se. That's the other people's fault for failing to put his advice up against the context of questions like what's the economic impact? What's the impact on education? What's the impact on just mental health of the society? And, you know, Biden, one of the things that concerns me about him is that he would give all the reins over to the doctors. And the doctor's only concern is saving lives. And that shouldn't be the only concern that people have. But I don't know that Trump did a whole lot better at that either. He pretty much let them, you know, he said silly, ridiculous, absurd things, but he largely let the doctors make decisions too, or make advice, you know, too, because he didn't know what to do. And both of those are errors. DeSantis is one of the few people who really knew what to do, which is to take the advice of the doctors and put it in perspective against other concerns that any political leader is supposed to take account of. And that's why he made some of the decisions that he made. But if it was to prove that Fauci's responsible for the virus, that's just an obscene and stupid claim. If it was to prove that somehow funding that he signed off on was responsible for gain-of-function research, again, if you really look at it, this is quite a stupid claim. If it's to blame him for all the bad things that ever happened under coronavirus, again, I think that's generally that's a stupid claim. But the Democrats, Paul Raul Ruiz, who is the leading Democrat ranking member, he said, this hearing is really not about getting at the truth. This is about the Republicans continuing to want to score political points based on the fact that people are angry and aggrieved about what happened during the COVID pandemic, and they're just trying to give themselves evidence to look better for an election year.
Under the guise of investigating the pandemic's origins, House Republicans have abdicated their responsibility to objectively examine how COVID-19 came to be, and instead weaponized concern about a lab-related origin to fuel sentiment against our nation's scientists and public health officials for partisan gain. They have done so with one particular public health official in mind, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, and I actually agree with that general assessment of what the Republicans seem to be wanting to do in this hearing, which is sad, because here you have a real opportunity to get to the sort of the bottom of things, or to at least get clarity on things. Like, you know, there was one doctor involved in all of this that definitely did some inappropriate things. There was some inappropriate response to public records requests. You know, there was some allegations that Fauci had used his private email for business, which I don't think turns out to be accurate. There were allegations that he covered up for the known fact that it was a lab leak and that made it look like it was some naturally occurring thing. And that's all absurd. He leans to the view that it was naturally occurring, but he's said so many times that he's open to either view and that the evidence is not dispositive that it's absurd that Republicans keep claiming the alternative. So generally, in terms of the truth claims of this hearing or over the pandemic, I have to tell you, it's embarrassing for me to be a representative of the Republican Party when most of the truth on this seems to be espoused by the Democrats. And the Republicans are just unwilling to hear it for what I assume are mostly political reasons, that they realize their constituents are on a certain side of this, or that Trump was on a certain side of this, and they don't want to run afoul of all of that. But here's the truth of it.
For the past 15 months, the Select Subcommittee has pored over more than 425,000 pages of documents provided to us by government agencies, universities, and private citizens. We have conducted more than 100 hours of closed-door interviews with 20 current and former federal officials and scientists. And what we have found is the following. Dr. Fauci did not fund research through the Echo Health Alliance grant that caused the COVID-19 pandemic. Dr. Fauci did not lie about gain-of-function research in Wuhan, China. And Dr. Fauci did not orchestrate a campaign to suppress the lab leak theory. After 15 months, the Select Subcommittee still does not possess a shred of evidence to substantiate these extreme allegations that Republicans have levied against Dr. Fauci for nearly 4 years.
Agreed. I mean, just that's He's correct. So Anthony Fauci for himself.
The accusation being circulated that I influenced these scientists to change their minds by bribing them with millions of dollars in grant money is absolutely false and simply preposterous. I had no input into the content of the published paper.
That was a paper about the origins that came out very early. And in fact, he reads an email that he sent on February 1st of 2020 telling people, hey, look for the evidence, find out the truth of this. And if you have evidence that there was any kind of criminal misbehavior involved in any of this, please report that to the authorities, including the FBI.
Now, quote from an email that I sent to Professor Farrar on February 1, 2020, quote, Jeremy, I just got off the phone with Christian Anderson, and he related to me his concern about the furin site mutation in the spike protein of the virus. I told him that as soon as possible, he and Eddie Holmes should get a group of evolutionary biologists together to carefully examine the data to determine if his concerns are validated, and they should report it to the appropriate authorities. I would imagine that in the USA, this would be the FBI, and in the UK, it would be MI5. In the meantime, I will alert my US government official colleagues of my conversation with you and Christian and determine what further investigation they recommend. Let us stay in touch. Best regards, Tony, unquote. It is inconceivable that anyone who reads this email could conclude that I was trying to cover up the possibility of a lab leak. I have always kept an open mind to the different possibilities.
Yeah. And even to this day, he says he thinks it's most likely that it occurred naturally or in, you know, some kind of a source other than the lab. But he says, we don't know for sure. We may never know for sure. The alternative is certainly possible, although it's an impossibility that the COVID-19 virus originated from the research that had been underwritten by a small grant from the NIH. That connection is impossible, but that it could have come from some other agent at the Wuhan lab or some other lab or some other activity on Chinese soil. All of that remains open to the possibility, which he said many times during this hearing. So I appreciated that the hearing occurred. I thought that the Republicans sometimes did a good job of bringing forth information and sometimes did a very embarrassing job of making themselves look stupid. Marjorie Taylor Greene, for example. But we'll get back to this throughout the course of the show today. 526 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential. But finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10:30 and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show. Weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR TV News. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Now who's responsible? I say, who's responsible for this unwarranted attack on my person?
You may not have known you needed a little Generation X this morning. That's Billy Idol before he was Billy Idol. But you did. And now you know. 529 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, today is the 80th anniversary of D-Day. More than 160,000 Allied troops stormed the beaches of Normandy on June 6, 1944, to get a foothold on Nazi-occupied Europe. More than 9,000 people died in that assault. President Biden is in Normandy today at the cemetery and memorial.
One of the most important military days in all of modern human history, for sure. Go ahead, David.
Absolutely. And Hunter Biden's federal firearms trial continues again today. And among the witnesses that were on the stand yesterday was the man who sold the gun to Hunter Biden. So we'll keep watching that.
And the ex-girlfriend who testified that Hunter Biden used crack once in a while, every 20 minutes.
Every once in a
every
while.
Every 20 minutes. Set a timer, lady. Need some more crack over here.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden's been meeting in Normandy, France, with American veterans of the World War II D-Day invasion 80 years ago today. King Charles at a United Kingdom event.
We recall the lesson that comes to us again and again across the decades. Three nations must stand together to oppose tyranny.
20 world leaders are there for the main ceremony happening now. The Israeli military says 20 to 30 Hamas militants were in a school hit by an airstrike in classrooms separate from civilians.
The Israeli military says the school targeted by its fighter jets contained a Hamas compound, but local officials report dozens were killed, including at least 23 women and children. The Al-Sardi school is run by the UN, and witnesses say it was filled with Palestinians displaced by Israeli's military offensive.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne right now. It is 78 degrees, partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Governor Ron DeSantis has now signed the bill that's named after the Navarre woman who was found dead after a child custody exchange. News Radio's Joe Ford with more.
House Bill 385, dubbed Cassie Carley's Law, will ensure that every county in the state provides a safe location for parents to safely exchange custody of their children. It was back in March of 2022 when Carly went missing and her body was found several days later in a shallow grave in Alabama following a custody exchange with the child's father, Marcus Spanavello. Spanavello awaits trial on federal charges of kidnapping and abuse of a corpse. The new law requires county sheriff's offices to set up the well-lit safe location along with 24-hour surveillance. Joe Ford, News Radio, Pensacola.
Thank you very much, Joe. Florida counties have until October 1st to implement plans, which require special camps to be set up for the homeless population, as well as services like mental health and substance abuse help. That's because homeless camps on public property won't be allowed.
What we would do is work with our COC, some of our community partners that we already have a great working relationship with. We're looking at what our strategy might be moving forward and what might be the best plan of action for us as a county.
Escambia County Administrator Wes Moreno talked with Channel 3. That bill would also allow for lawsuits to be filed by the public against local governments that are not in compliance. Some homeless activists worry that the October 1st deadline might be too soon and that counties aren't fully prepared yet to have to use money to fight off lawsuits rather than to help their homeless population. Boeing's historic Starliner mission launched its first crewed test flight into space yesterday. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson called it a milestone moment for NASA after their decision to partner with private companies.
When we expand our fleet of spacecraft, what we're doing is expanding our reach to the stars.
Veteran NASA astronauts Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams are part of the crew in that Starliner capsule on the mission to the International Space Station. The launch had been in the works for a decade. The first two launch attempts were scrubbed in recent weeks for various technical glitches. And there are some reports now that the Starliner capsule, even en route to the space station, does still have some helium leaks. This marks just the sixth inaugural launch of a crewed spacecraft in history. The Starliner and its crew, though, are on track to dock at the International Space Station here sometime today. It is 5:34 at News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing some scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. 70% chance of rain overall, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. Beautiful and sunny for Friday with plenty of sunshine, high near 92. Low Friday night near 70 degrees. Keeping the sunshine around on Saturday with a high near 92 and a low near 73. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 78 degrees in Pensacola, 80 in Gulf Breeze, and 79 in Milton. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Cole Murray with Your Money Now. YouTube is changing its policies about firearm videos to keep potentially dangerous content from reaching underage users. The video sharing platform owned by Google said it will prohibit any videos demonstrating how to remove firearm safety devices. In addition, videos showing homemade guns, automatic weapons, and certain firearm accessories like silencers will be restricted to users 18 and older. The changes take effect June 18th. This year's annual congressional baseball game where Democratic and Republican lawmakers play against each other will be brought to you by U.S. Steel. The Post-Gazette reports that the domestic manufacturer spent $100,000 on the sponsorship. Other donors include Google, Visa, Aflac, and the Anheuser-Busch Foundation. The White House and members of Congress have voiced opposition to Nippon Steel's roughly $15 billion takeover of U.S. Steel, citing national security concerns. Futures are mixed. That's your money now.
Getting quality.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Summer season is here and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
State Senator Doug Broxson, Florida House Representatives Michelle Salzman, Alex Andrade, Dr. Joel Rudman, and Pat Maney. What do they all have in common? They'll answer your questions live on WSRE's Legislative Review. Simulcast on News Radio Pensacola. Email your questions to info@WSRE.com or message WSRE on Facebook. Then watch WSRE or listen to News Radio Pensacola Monday, June 10th at 7 p.m. for Legislative Review. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Here on News Radio Pensacola, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and yesterday, as we typically do on a Wednesday, I had a chance to talk with our Pensacola Mayor, Mr. D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, Andrew.
Always good to have you. Let's start with a happy note. I think, actually, most everything I have to talk about today is to some degree a happy note. One happy note is the bridge lights are on! They're on at night. They're brilliant. They're bright. They're red, white, and blue, except for a couple that are not because they're maybe damaged. But they're on, right?
All you have to do is ask. Yes, they are on. And I mentioned when we talked about it last week, which was, I guess it must be in our good luck charm, Governor DeSantis had said that the state bridges would be red, white, and blue. We continue to work on, the Sunday or Monday after the 4th of July turns to Blue Angels Week, that we get an exception from the governor. So we are working on that. And FDOT is working on that, and I'm kind of at the ready to help if they're running into any issues. But we might have made it. You know, I want to see some consistency before I say mission accomplished. But, we are definitely on the right track, and this could be, that we have consistent lights on our bridge.
Is the goal for Blue Angels blue and gold, or is it something else?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, there's blue and gold. And there was actually some settings. That was pre-planned when they were putting lights in, that those kind of options would be available, including some of the animation stuff. Now, I don't know that that's going to be ready, but at least going blue and yellow should be ready. And then, of course, per the governor's order, it'll be red, white, and blue for the rest of the summer.
Okay. So, and as we know, with these kind of lights, you can program animation or moving or what. There's all kinds of things that you can do with them. Almost anything you can do with them, really.
Correct.
All right. So I'm gonna take advantage of the opportunity, since apparently you have not because you ask not, and if I ask, we have. So the District 4 commission seat, which of course the city of Pensacola is mostly within District 4, might as well ask. Maybe we'll get results. Do you know anything? Has the governor communicated to your office anything? Do you have any insight as to whether we should expect an appointment before the primary or even before the election?
No, I checked in with the appointments office last week, if there's a decision or any movement, and the answer was no.
Okay.
So that's where it sits.
Okay.
And, I think there's a lot of, the list has been published. I think there's a lot of good candidates, good options, obviously. It's not a secret. I mean, I had a letter of support or there's a reference for Jared Moore, mm-hmm. who I think would do a great job as an appointee. But at the end of the day, that decision rests with the governor. And if, it's too difficult of a decision to make or we're too torn, I do wish that there's that representation in our city right now. There's
things
happening and there's decisions being made. I don't know that that's a good scenario for anyone, state or local or District 4, to not make that decision. But that's out of my purview. So, the last update I received from Tallahassee was no update.
Yeah. And it's also, and just particularly as it relates to Jared, he's, unless he decides to resign to run for commission, which I think looks unlikely, we miss out on the opportunity of having him as a contender precisely because he would only likely be in that seat if he gets appointed to it. And I understand the reasons why the governor would be reluctant to act, and I heard some of the stories about why there's inaction, but I just was, I always like to check and see if there's anything that you might have heard, and it sounds like the answer is no, and so we'll keep waiting as we're doing. We're going to get to ST in, let's go ahead and start there, because obviously yesterday was a big day for the city of Pensacola. The groundbreaking for Phase 3, we've talked about this all morning because it's obviously a big thing. Just briefly, somebody had asked me to be sure the traffic created by the employees and by the students at the school that's going to be there on the west side, that's all going to go out onto 12th Avenue. That's not going to go onto Langley, right?
That is correct. Every rendering I've seen, every drawing I've seen, and that includes Hangar 3, potential Hangar 4, as well as the A&P Mechanic School that was just approved in that first phase by Triumph. So if you left the airport terminal and you took a right on 12th, I believe you would get to Hangar 4 first, then 3, and then the northernmost, which would be kind of behind the butcher shop there, but not accessed from Langley, would be the A&P Mechanic School. That would be the northernmost facility. So that's the order. But all of that traffic will be going in and out on 12th Avenue.
You mentioned it just there, potential Hangar 4. In my mind, this has always been presented as a four hangars plus an administrative building. Of course, we've also now added this schoolhouse that would eventually be 1,725 jobs, $210 million price tag for the whole shebang. But I'm, you know, yesterday you talked about this, that hangar four is, I would say it's in doubt. It's an uncertainty. It's a we don't know. Talk to me a little bit about how much extra money are we talking about? Do we even know? What's the likelihood, if you want to handicap it for me?
Yeah, sure. Again, you know, Hangar 3 is about in the mid-80s, about, you know, $83, $85 million. So if we're going off of that working number, not assuming any cost increases when 4 was ready to go, you know, we've got, give or take, about $40 million left. Now, this is not a unique story to Pensacola. This is when you set dollar amounts for hangars in 2014, voila, we're in 2024 and costs are 30%, 40% up. So again, this is not the fault of anyone in this process or underestimating costs or anything like that. So the decision becomes, okay, well, you know, how do we make up that delta? How do we adapt to that delta? You know, there's conversations about, you know, do we do a hangar 3.5 and look at that, because we certainly would have the funding to do that at least. Do we go back to some of those funding sources? You know, there has been a lot of money put into this project, so you know, there could be some trepidation with that, understandably. So luckily, we don't have to make that decision right now. I think we're going to probably have some preliminary conversations with some folks at some of those different entities and gauge temperature on those types of things. But at the end of the day, yes, we have a delta, but I do think we've got options regardless of what happens. If that means we end up with, you know, one less bay than we thought 10 years ago, and maybe that's, you know, 100 less jobs or something like that, and we have to go have those conversations, we'll do that. And if we think there's a path to victory in terms of coming up with $40 million somehow through Triumph or other sources, then certainly we'll explore those. So we do have time to focus on that as we get Hangar 3 going. And you know, I'm sure the most logical, pragmatic solution will come to light.
All right. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, I talked with Bill Hafner yesterday. We just played the interview at the top of the hour from ST. And asked him the question of, look, obviously you have, you know, clients are beating down the door at ST to get their plane service there. That's not the issue. The issue is having enough employees who are able to do the work, which is why PSC is partnering with them to do this on the grounds in the hangars training. I think that's a great program. It just shows the adaptability of PSC to help provide workforce. What's your thought, if you have one, about why we haven't been able to get enough of the employees trained up? Yeah, I mean, is it lack of awareness that this is out there? Is it lack of interest? I mean, what do you have any thought about why this pipeline of employees hasn't quite been up to the task, at least not yet?
Yeah, I almost feel like a broken record. It's why every time I talk about this project, I talk about the massive, massive importance of that A&P school. Because you can't just there's some avenues that you can just walk in the door at ST and, you know, start from the ground up and get trained. But until we can start doing that at scale, I mean, think about our housing crisis and how we're trying to, until we get our high school graduates and our kids trained at scale, how are we going to be able to continue to feed that system? So, I mean, to be honest with you, I think that if we were to do this over again, probably having the school from day one would have been probably part of the package that would have made the most sense for us. But I mean, hey, there's a lot of money invested in this. I don't blame anybody back then, but knowing what we know now, and honestly, I think the proudest moment from just the city's role in this since I've been there is that we really re-wrangled quarterback to help get PSC and ST at the table, and not just ST at the table, but ST putting up $5 million of scholarships and everything that helped made it pencil for Pensacola State. So we kind of, myself and Erica, we just said we knew how important this was. And so even though it's PSC that's doing the school and it's ST that's investing, this was a little bit dead on the vine for a little while. And so I don't think we're going to be successful without this school. I just don't. I don't think we can get the kids at scale. So you know, best time to plant a tree is 10 years ago. Second best is today. I think that's the same scenario here. It would have been great to have this school up and running 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but second best time's right now. And that's why we took it so seriously. And I'm as thrilled for that as any part of this project so far.
You know, the other side of this question that I've had a couple of people ask me about is the, you know, the overall cost and then therefore the cost per job. And depending on which way you cut the numbers, if you take out ST's contribution, you're talking about somewhere between $70,000 or $100,000 per new job if the price doesn't go up and if we get the total number of 1,725 jobs. And, of course, if those numbers change, then those numbers change. But you inherited this program, and obviously ST has been a good partner. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of businesses that say, well, you know, hey, I'd love to have $80,000 to start jobs per job. Any comments on that or maybe thoughts about how that would shape our thinking about other potential projects like this in the future?
Yeah, look, you know, one's a question of philosophy and one's a question of where our feet are, right? So one, philosophically, are we, you know, should we pay this amount per job? What's the success rate been around the country about that? And I think there's some arguments for, and I think there's some arguments against, and, mm-hmm. and both would have some valid points. But here's the good news. Regardless of that, we're all rowing in the same direction. ST Engineering, Hangar 3 that you were at is full today. If we finished it at 5 o'clock today, it would be full of planes tomorrow. So here's what we have. We have pent-up demand. We have opportunities for jobs for our citizens to be the breadwinner of their family by the time they're 20 or 21 years old as a mechanic. And despite other mentionings to the contrary, the mechanic jobs are very competitive within the market because they have to be. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find a trained mechanic. So the market is dictating what the cost of a mechanic is. And so ST has a need. The city has a need in creating quality jobs. That's why we paid what we paid for those jobs, I believe, if I'm speaking for 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So we need to see this successful. Would we do this? Would we do that? Should it be $50,000, $70,000 a job? I don't get lost in that. Our eyes are on the prize of making this economic development tactic as successful as possible. So we continue to work with ST on that. We continue to try to create opportunities. We're getting into the high schools and maybe the middle schools now with ST and exposing our kids to that. So before we say, will this work or not work or fair or not fair, I think we have to give it our best shot. And because we won't ever know that if we don't. And so that's what I'm focused on right now.
Very good. And, of course, you know, we're already well committed into this. And so, as you say, let's do the best we can to make it work now. Whatever you might say about whether we should have done it in the first place, that's a kind of a moot conversation at this point. Lightning round for you, sir. First question, it's an easy one. Is Dr. Pepper a cola and do you drink it?
Oh, is it a cola? I don't know. When I think of cola, I think of like Chet Cola back in the day. I'm going to say no, it's not. But yes, I'll drink a Diet Dr. Pepper every now and then.
Oh, so you're not a cult member. You just once in a while you sample.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
yeah, I haven't fallen all the way into the trap.
Yeah, not very many people like you. That's good. What is the correct way to eat an Oreo?
You know, I've matured over the years, Andrew. So, you know, I've gone back to the classic sandwich style.
As it was presented to you, least challenge.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was more adventurous in my younger days. But every time you ask me these questions, it makes me realize how boring I am. I know that.
A dunk or dunk?
How do I eat this? How do I cut that? And I'm like, man, I do it like the normal, boring way, I think.
Dunk or no dunk for your Oreo?
If it's available, but I don't go out of my way for that either.
You're not dunking vanilla. Let me
give a shout out for vanilla Oreos. If you're really
those
are hard to stop eating.
They are very good. But in any case, you're not dunking it in Dr. Pepper, right?
No, I don't believe so. I haven't tried it. I'll have to ask you. But,
stay safe on that one. Sure. All right, last one, and this is a bit of a what will the politicians say? But do you have a favorite? Best local hamburger place?
Man, all of them are so good, Andrew. I mean, I can't choose. I've got a top 100 list.
When you think back to the guy who owned Perfect Plane before he was a politician, what would that guy have said?
I see. Okay. I'll keep it familial. McGuire Martin is my godfather, and I grew up on McGuire's hamburgers.
One of my wife's favorite places too. So they're really, really good hamburgers.
I've had more of those than any. I would say that.
Very good. DC Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, sir. Always a pleasure to talk to you. We look forward to talking to you again next week. Thanks for the time.
All right, thanks, AJ.
Absolutely. 5:53 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you're thinking about getting work done on your import, your Porsche, Mercedes, your BMW, Genesis, Audi, Jaguar, your Lexus, you might think you have to go to the dealership, and you do not. There is actually a federal law that allows you to take your car anywhere. You do not have to ever go to the dealership. By federal, for like decades, that's been the law. And especially if the dealership is at a distance, you know, like a Porsche of Destin, you know, that's a ways, okay? So that's gas, that's time, that's inconvenience. It's probably more cost also to go to the dealership. You can go to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on those cars all the time. Domestics, they work on those too, okay? You know, Ford and Chevy, that's fine. Dodge, whatever. You can bring them there. If you've got a diesel, like a truck, they work on those. That's a little bit of a special, it's a little bit different, okay? So you need to know what you're doing, and they do. Gas engines, of course, no problem. CarClinicService.com is the website, like a healthcare clinic for your car. And the idea there is, your body is a complex mechanical system. You take it to the doctor to do checkups, right? Your car is a complex mechanical system, and it doesn't have self-healing features like your body does. So you take it to the mechanic. You take it to Bobby Likas. They check it over and make sure that you're not about to have a big problem. That's what preventative maintenance is all about. Also, they are getting ready to announce a second location very soon. That means there are additional mechanics that are being hired right now. So if you are one or know someone, tell them to check out Bobby Likas right here on Davis Highway.
Uh-oh!
You've just discovered you have...
Ew! What do I do? How do you get rid of them? I haven't a clue.
To get rid of the rats is no problem at all. The solution's inside Davis Hardware and U-Haul.
Hi, how can we help you?
I have a rat problem.
Oh, rats.
Literally, what do I do?
Davis Hardware and U-Haul employees are real hardware people and know what happens when infestations get out of hand. They have the experience to help you get rid of your, uninvited guests.
Thank you.
Davis Hardware and U-Haul on L Street just off Fairfield in the center of Pensacola.
The Pensacola Little Theater presents the pop cultural phenomenon Rent from June 7th through the 23rd. See this stage spectacular with songs that rock and a story that resonates with audiences of all ages. Rent follows a year in the life of a group of impoverished young artists and musicians struggling to survive and create in New York's Lower East Side. See how these young bohemians negotiate their dreams, loves, and conflicts in this groundbreaking musical. Tickets are available at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Visit Prim and Proper, the premier destination for unique gifts in Gulf Breeze, specializing in adding that extra touch of thoughtfulness to any occasion with expert engraving services. From elegant monograms to heartfelt messages, they bring visions to life. With a wide selection of gifts for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, and more, there's something perfect for everyone. Prim and Proper also excels in corporate, employee, and client gifts that leave lasting impressions. Visit them online at primandproper.com.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
How the heck did you manage it?
Manage what?
You must have put the idea in his head somehow.
What an impertinent thing to say. Me putting ideas into people's heads? Really?
I talk about this sometimes, but in case you haven't heard me say it, one of the things I've been doing over the last few years is bands I like going back and listening to the albums that they've made that I didn't know or didn't have or wasn't familiar with. And U2 is just, like, I had several of their albums, and of course I know U2, but I didn't know U2. Like, I might have had, I don't know, four or five albums and I was familiar with their radio hits, but I've been going back and listening to all of their albums. Good Lord, what a band. I mean, that's all. It's not quite to where I would say better than Van Halen, my all-time favorite band. But I, like, the other day I was listening to Songs of Experience, I think it was, or one of them, and I'm like, God, this is so good. It's still not even Halen, but it's still so good, you know, and that's off of their Songs of Surrender. That's the acoustic version of a bunch of their songs. So if you like good music and you haven't gone back and listened to all the U2, it's worth doing. 5:58 on News Radio Pensacola. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Six people have now been arrested in connection with that shooting outside the U.S. Embassy in Beirut. A Lebanese guard was injured in that shooting yesterday morning. Local authorities there say the alleged gunman was a Syrian national who was shot by the Lebanese army. The Lebanese Army Command has since arrested five more people in connection to that, including three members of the alleged shooter's family. The motivation is still unclear, but a State Department spokesman does say the shooter was wearing what appeared to be ISIS insignia. Elon Musk looking at Memphis, Tennessee for the home of his next multi-billion dollar project. Musk and city leaders yesterday announcing the XAI Gigafactory will be located there. The Gigafactory will be the world's largest supercomputer. And Florida lawmakers reacting after a delegation from Cuba was apparently able to access secure areas at the Miami International Airport. Senator Marco Rubio announced yesterday that he and Congressman Carlos Jimenez have introduced the Secure Airports from Enemies Act. This comes about a month after a group from Cuba toured TSA facilities and parts of the airport not open to the public.
All right. Very good, David. Oh, you know the whole case with the guy who was driving on the suspended license and he was in the court case and it turns out that the license is supposed to have been reinstated? You know this story with the guy?
Yeah,
viral
I remember
video.
That one, yeah.
Oh, he never had a license in the first place. Never, ever even had a license. He had a state ID only.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.